We're reading Ephesians chapter 4 today. We're continuing the series here about the old man versus the new man and the Apostle Paul. Here in chapter 4, verse 28, let's read this verse. It says, "Let him who stole no longer steal, but rather let him labor, working with his own hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need." We were just singing a song about our old life and a new heart that God has given us. In this passage, beginning with verse 17, Paul is talking to us about the new man and makes a series of contrasts between the life we used to live and the life that we now have. Remember in verse 1 of chapter 4, Paul says, "Walk." We live a life by walking. God calls us to walk in a worthy manner. God called Abraham and he says, "Walk before me." The implication is God's eyes are watching us as we little people down on earth. God from way up there can watch us walk. And God takes careful notes on how we walk. He's got a book where he writes things down. In verse 17, Paul says, don't walk. Verse 1 says walk. Verse 17, he says don't walk. So you want to notice the contrast. Verse 1 says walk like you should walk. And verse 17 says don't walk like you should not walk. In other words, don't walk like the world walks. Don't live your life the way the world lives. Live the life the way I call you to live. God says, "I have a plan for your life. Here it is. Here's how I want you to live." And by the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, we have the power to do this. The new life that we're supposed to live is a life of righteousness and a life of holiness. Right, we know the word right. It means that which is not wrong. God's word is right. Psalm 19 tells us that God's word is capable and sufficient and instructs us in the way we should walk, and it brings us to life eternal. Holiness is the outward visibility of our righteous life. It is a life that is separated. It's apart from the life in the world. So don't walk the way the world walks means to make a clear break, to make a contrast, to make a break from the old life. And so he says, don't walk, or be holy. Be holy means the same thing as don't walk. Do you notice how all parts of Scripture, beginning from Genesis all the way to Revelation, when you start digging into the meaning of the words and the phrases and the verses, God has a central message in his word. God wants us to walk and to be in his presence. God wants us to spend eternity with him. And because of that, it begins, that life begins here and now in this life that we live now. Remember a few weeks ago, I brought to your attention our calendar, 2009, right? The Jewish calendar has a different number. The Chinese calendar has a different number. What's unique about Christianity is B.C. and A.D., before Christ and after Christ, right? After the day of our Lord. Is your life B.C.? Are you walking the way you used to walk in the world? Or is it after you've met Christ? All things are new, Paul says in 2 Corinthians. God, the creator that created the universe, and in Adam and Eve sinned, and humanity fell into sin. And now God takes this wretched sinner that we are, and he transforms our life into something brand new that is pleasing to him. And then Paul gives us these practical applications that demonstrate that we live and that we walk in a worthy way. And it's visible to each other in the church, and it's visible to the people outside the church. Jesus, of course, is the truth. The opposite of the truth is falsehood. If Jesus is the author of truth and is the one from whom truth comes from, the opposite of that is Satan, the father of all lies. Do you want to be like Christ? Or do you want to be like Satan? The second thing in our lifestyle, in our old life, is self-control versus being angry and bitter and resentment. If we're angry or we have a passion about the things of God, that is one thing. That is a righteous, holy walk. But if you allow that, Paul says, don't go to sleep with it. End it. Otherwise, your heart becomes bitter. And when you have bitterness in your heart, it says Satan has a place in your heart. Now, let me ask you a question. If Jesus is the author of truth, and Satan is the author of all evil, do you think that Satan needs your help to give him place in your life to do more evil? He's pretty good the way it is without us giving him room. Paul says, don't give him any room. Don't help Satan. Why do we want to help Satan in his war against God? It's the opposite of what Scripture is teaching us. Don't walk that way. Don't give him any room. Don't lie. Don't be angry. Be in control of yourself. Speak the truth. And now, amazingly, you would think that Christians should know that we're not supposed to steal. And Paul says to this church at Ephesus, the church that loved Jesus, remember in Revelation, when John writes through the Holy Spirit to this church, he says, I know your works. God knows. And yet to this church, Paul is writing, do not steal. Could they have been stealing? They probably were, since Paul is writing about that. But even deeper than that, Paul is making a contrast with our old life. If you used to be a thief, if you used to be a robber, don't do it anymore. The new life demonstrates itself in a new way, in a productive way. You see, Satan and evil destroys things. Adam and Eve lived a wonderful life in the garden, and Satan came and he destroyed it. And the rest of us now have to live with the consequences. That's just the way it is. But God offers us a way out, a new life, a new way. Paul says, do not steal. It's amazing that Paul has to bring up these subjects. But what Paul is saying and what Paul is reminding us is that we live in a body that wants to do these things. You know, in our old life, when we were dead in sins and trespasses, it was natural to steal. There was no big deal about it. You just did it. But as Christians, now our conscience bothers us. The Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, tells us don't do that. There's a prohibition against taking from something that somebody has worked hard with his hands to earn. Do you think that stealing, it diminishes the value of the person you're stealing from? Paul doesn't want to give us an excuse to do anything, but at the same time, he's saying that even in the church, even among the people that call themselves Christians, we have a tendency to do the things that are displeasing to God. And one of the areas that is displeasing to God is when we take things that belong to God and we take it away from God. And I'm talking specifically about our finances and what God gives to us as Christians. You see, if you're taking away from God, then you're taking away from the ministry that God has in his local church. Paul says, instead of stealing, he says, be productive in your life. Work with your hands, and with your hands do good things so that the money you have, you would not only have enough money to live your daily life. And Jesus promised to give us our daily bread, remember? He says, give us this day. He promises to give it. But beyond the food and the resources we need to live our life, God wants us to share in the ministry of the local church and in the life of people that have a need. Now, do not steal goes way back to the Old Testament. This isn't news to this church. The Old Testament and the Ten Commandments and the Law of Moses revolve around this commandment. You know, the first commandments, do not worship gods that are not your gods. Do not make images of God and worship God. Do not take the glory of God away from him. Do not worship that which should not be worshipped. Does that not speak to us about stealing from the glory of God or diminishing or taking away from the glory of God? Yes, there is a specific commandment that says do not steal. But all the rest of them revolve around that. Do not covet, the 10th commandment. Do not desire what does not belong to you, your neighbor's house, automobile, wife, servant, to put it in our modern 21st century English. In the time of the Ten Commandments, it said, don't take your neighbor's donkey or his mule. We understand what that means. Is that not stealing? Everything revolves around this. Do you see how very important and how deep the subject is for us as Christians to understand that everything we do in our life is here, we live our life to glorify God, to honor God? And when we do things that are displeasing to God, we are robbing God of the glory that he deserves in our life, through our church, in the society in which we live. To be specific, in the ministry of our church, we've got a budget. We have needs in our church that are approximately $100,000 a year. Are you faithful or are you stealing from God what belongs to God? Scripture commands us to bring our tithes and our offerings on a weekly basis to the Lord. Are you doing that? Are you faithful in that? You know, if every one of us brought our tithes and offerings, you know, we would have several million dollars here, not $100,000. But the tragedy is we've got many people that together, you know, we have about 40 people in our church that all together, when you put together their contributions to the church, they equal zero. Is that not stealing from God the resources that belong to God that we as a church could minister to the people that have needs and more specifically be able to proclaim the gospel to the people that don't know the gospel? Remember Peter, one time he asks Jesus, he says, Jesus, we gave up everything. We gave up our wives, our families, our children. We gave up everything. We gave up our fishing boat. We gave up our business. We're following you. What are we going to get out of this? And Jesus proceeds to talk to them about the future glory they will have in heaven as a result of their ministry. You know, are you being faithful in what God gives you and what God teaches you in your word, in your financial giving to the church? You know, just to meet our budget with our 170 members, we need to contribute $600 a year per member, $50 a month or $12 a week. Young people especially, I challenge you, give up two lattes this week. And you will have the money to make your contribution next Sunday. But Paul teaches us, do not steal what belongs to God. Because all of us are children of God. And if you take what belongs to a child of God, you're taking from the Heavenly Father. Rather, Paul says, work hard. You say, now that's a novel idea. People in our society don't like to work. They especially don't like to work with their hands. They want to get an easy job, a nice job, where they don't have to get their fingernails dirty. It's okay. It's good to have a good paying job, maybe that you don't have to work so hard physically. But what Paul is saying when he says work hard, he's talking about having, in a physical sense, an abundance. Having a little checking account or having an extra few dollars at the end of the week after you've met all your expenses, the first one being to the Lord, after you've lived your life, when a need comes up, when we announce in church that we have a building project going on in Russia, or we have somebody that's got a physical need, maybe needs a surgery or needs something that we need to help them with, so that we could dig deep in our pockets and have something there from an abundance from which we can take and give to God. Because if you don't have any, you cannot participate in the ministry of the church, which boils down to evangelism. Which boils down to what Jesus called us to do. Go into the world and teach. How are you going to go if you don't have the resources? You can be like Isaiah that said, God, send me, here I am. But you need some resources to do that. Paul says, I worked hard and I supported myself so that I could proclaim the gospel. That was the ultimate in sacrifice that Paul showed us. He says, I did not take from you, I gave to you. Are you doing that in your life? Are you working hard? Do you have an extra something that you can participate in the ministry? You see the contrast between the world. The world wants to take. The whole idea of welfare and social security and taxes and government is that the government takes from those that have an excess. You see, those people that receive, they don't have any excess. So the government takes from those that have it to give to those that don't have. And so what happens is those that have less to use for the Lord because what they have is being taken by the government to support the poor. Jesus said we will always have the poor to minister to them. But you see, when you work hard, God will bless the work of your hands. Do a good thing. When you have the surplus, you know, when we talk about our work, practically speaking, especially young people, as you prepare your lives for the future, God wants us to have a job that is honorable. Don't take a job that dishonors God or takes away from the glory of God. Don't take a job that would violate the commands of Scripture or your conscience. Don't do things that you would be ashamed of. Don't have a job as in the world that does not bring glory to God. There are honorable professions where you can serve God and earn your daily bread and be able to have an excess so you can participate in the ministry and the propagation of the gospel. Secondly, you need to do something that's good for society. You want to help in medicine if you can. You want to help with social programs if you can. You see, because it benefits everybody, but especially the children of God. Paul goes so far as to say that if you don't work, you don't deserve to eat. And that's pretty strong language from the Apostle Paul. Okay? So find your niche, find the job, find the work that God calls you to do. And even you retired people, you have work that God calls you to do in the church and through the church and in ministry. And also as a very practical matter, I would encourage you young people especially, if it's possible, never take a job where you have to work on the Lord's day. Because what does that do? That takes away from you the privilege of coming here to worship God, and worshiping God gives God glory. And if you're not here worshiping God, who are you stealing from? In your very job that you think you're earning money, you're actually depriving God of the glory that he deserves, and he commands you to come to his house on the Lord's day. And so we see that Paul is teaching us that new truth. This is the way we used to live. Let your life be different. Think about, don't just steal in terms of don't go and rob a bank. Don't be taking what belongs to God is the most important principle Paul is talking about. So have you put off the old? Have you put on the new? Which part of this verse describes you? You can answer the question to the Lord. Amen.